Hi, everybody. This is Matt McDermott from IndependentMinorLeagueBaseball.com, and I've got a great guest today with me. He's going to be one of the industry experts and also has a fantastic background both with the Major League organization as well as independent baseball. I've got Bob Weirs, who's currently running the website IndieBaseballChatter.com, which is both a blog, and then he also runs a weekly subscription column where you can get more information, again, from IndieBaseballChatter.com. Bob also was the former chief spokesperson in the 1980s for Major League Baseball for Bowie Kuhn and Peter Ueberroth, both the commissioners in Major League Baseball. And into from the late 90s into the 2000s, he was principal owner, or joint owner, with Waterbury Spirit, the Thunder Bay Whiskey Jacks, and then later on with the New Haven County Cutters. So, Bob, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Matt. Any opportunity to talk about independent baseball is good.
Well, one of the things that some fans listening may not be familiar with is that independent baseball, as we know it today, basically got reincarnated starting in 1993 with the Northern League and the Frontier League. Is that correct?
Yes, that's absolutely right.
So over 15 years, you've had a chance to oversee and speak with the original people who brought independent baseball back and have stuck with the industry in the 15 years and then going into the future. Just a quick background, what are some of the progressions you have seen since the mid-90s through today that have actually made independent baseball a stronger force?
Well, I think the improved quality of ownership and facilities would both be important milestones. Probably in the early years, there were too many occasions where teams or maybe entire leagues were not properly thought out, properly funded, or too many teams were playing in facilities that were not up to the standards that the fans and families are accustomed to or are comfortable with. And I think we've seen an enormous progression in both of those areas to where most of the owners or ownership groups today understand the deep responsibility that they have, the cost elements that are involved, and I think the communities recognize the importance of independent baseball or baseball, and in this case, it's independent baseball to their communities, and they have provided or helped with at least funding for new ballparks or upgrading the existing ballparks. And you have a great many out of the 60-some independent teams that will play in 2009. You have a lot of them playing in really state-of-the-art facilities, facilities that, I guess anything from 10 to $30 million. I know that's a broad range, but that would be sort of the minimum that you could do for something new and pretty much the maximum of what has been done, although I imagine a few owners would say that their facility cost maybe even more than the $30 million. But so this provides wonderful facilities, equivalent in many cases to the affiliated minor leagues, and I don't think families, when they go out to the ballpark, they probably don't think of it as affiliated or non-affiliated much of the time. They think of it as affordable family entertainment. That's what they're looking for, and that's what they're going to get.
Having been in league meetings before, that seems to be the actual catchphrase, affordable family entertainment.
It certainly is.
And again, that is the lifeblood of this industry. One thing we talked about, of course, in terms of comparable stadiums to the affiliated minor leagues, a lot of people have had the stigma that independent ball players are either too small, too slow, overlooked, or something like that. But you actually track former independent players who are not only in the affiliated organizations, but those who actually have made it to the major leagues. Can you just give a quick background on the quality of play that's improved over the last 15 years and how it relates to what a fan would see maybe at a single A or double A team for an affiliated organization?
Well, I'll give you a couple of numbers that that I think may tell a pretty good tale. Last year alone, the 30 major league clubs signed well over 100 players out of the independent league.
Just in the 2008 season?
Just in the 2008, the calendar year, of 2008, and I expect the same thing will happen in 2009 and 2010 and so on. So that is one factor that shows. And last year there were over 30, I believe the number was 35 players who played all or part of the 2008 season in the major leagues after having been at some point in their career in the independent leagues. And there were, I don't know the exact number, but somewhere a dozen or so out of that 35 who actually got their start in independent leagues and probably wouldn't have had any professional career if it wasn't for the independents. I can cite six examples from last year of last year alone, six new faces in the major leagues who started in an independent league. And some people may say, well, six is kind of a small number, isn't it? I'd say no, it's a good number, because you're talking about people who almost without exception played in college where they were scouted. They were still overlooked in the draft and had to start their career in an independent league and continue to hone their talent and work up the ladder to get signed by a major league organization and eventually get to the major league roster itself. And, you know, that we all know that baseball is not a perfect sport to scout. It's much easier in basketball or in football with the college system there and the lack of a need for minor league training for athletes in those sports once they come out of college. But in baseball, it's a different animal, and so many of these players, they play in northern schools or schools that don't emphasize baseball or don't have the great facilities, or they're players who just mature and develop later. A pitcher learns a better pitch or gets better command of his pitches. A hitter refines the strike zone. You know, all of these elements that come into play.
One other thing that's also helping in my career, I've actually had a chance to come in as a bullpen and later on as a backup mop-up duty catcher in the independent levels. But one thing I did appreciate, though, was when the guys were finishing their careers who actually had major league experience and were ending their careers in the minors, was the wisdom that they've imparted. I mean, former World Series players were explaining what it's like to be in the playoffs. So guys would actually huddle around and listen. And do you think that the players who currently have made it into the majors, who started their careers in independents, do they happen to have any background where they had a good major league or former major league veteran really mentor them and really help them get ready for the next levels?
Oh, I'd have to think that almost without exception that would be the case, because the people who are going to succeed, you know, if you're not one of these people who just has that God-given talent that makes them a star in the making all the way from their youth to high school to college to minor league days. You know, if you weren't blessed with those kind of tools, you've had to work every edge you could get to perfect your talent, to learn what you needed to learn to be, if not the best player, the best equipped or the best prepared player, you know, because there's so much of the game that is mental. So those people have had to pay attention to their mentors, whether they were players on the way down after major league or high minor league careers, or whether they were the people who now were the managers and coaches in the independent leagues. And that's another impressive factor to me. I don't know the exact number today, but it's I'm comfortable in saying it's well over half of the independent baseball managers are gentlemen who played in the major leagues. You know, they weren't all stars, and yet there are some who fit that category. The Hall of Fame catcher Gary Carter is managing, and he's the example at one end, and the example at the other end would be the guys who maybe got to the major leagues as a backup infielder or a tenth man on a 10-man pitching staff or whatever, and they love the game, they've learned the game, and now they're able to impart that knowledge as a teacher and an instructor and a mentor. And they go out and stay in the game by managing or coaching at the independent level.
And that's a fantastic transition. I've taken a look historically, starting in 93, 94, 95, when a lot of the leagues that you mentioned earlier, which were not well prepared, obviously faltered and failed, or they had to merge and subsequently finally become what are the current seven operating leagues this year for the 2009 season. With that said, with that type of progress, what were some of the accomplishments that you've seen across the independent leagues in 2008, not just on the field, but potentially off the field?
Well, I think the front office, the depth of the front office staffs and the ability to really put on a great game presentation for the fans, I think that has just steadily improved and will continue to do that. And I dare say it would take a real trained eye to go into a good affiliated minor league stadium and a good independent minor league stadium and be able to tell the difference in all of the promotions and the style with which they are putting their entire presentation of an evening of entertainment together for mom and dad and the kids who come out. So that, baseball is a sport that is remarkable in the sense of how many people want to work in the game. And that's why the things that you're doing, I think, are very important, Matt. But we see this wealth of talent, and just like the players, the cream rises to the top. The same thing does from the administrative standpoint. If you're not willing to dedicate yourself, if you don't have the certain amount of raw talent to begin with, you're going to wash yourself out of front offices and out of baseball as a career in a short time. And we're seeing more and more people who are making a wonderful career for themselves in a field that they dearly love by running promotions or public relations or stadium operations or coordinating it all in a general manager or an assistant general manager's role. And these are really, for the most part, just superbly qualified people.
Well, then, I was going to ask, now that the time of this recording is going to be before the 2009 season, so people are listening to this, it may be dated a year or two or three down the road. Hopefully it's still relevant. But as we transition into the 2009 season, we're undergoing, obviously, some economic changes and challenges nationwide at the time of this recording. What are some of the things that you foresee that the teams can do, despite economic challenges, that they can still provide not only the level of entertainment that they offered in 2008, but they can actually even improve on it in 2009, despite the current economic situation?
Well, let me take two whacks at that, if I may.
Sure.
In the first place, the public needs its outlets, and always will need the outlets. You know, the movie is affordable for them, or minor league baseball is affordable for them, and so the product, as the independent product stands today, is good, affordable family entertainment that I think is within the pocketbook a few times a summer of virtually every family in the country. You know, they maybe can't afford to go to a major league game, or they can't afford to go to a Broadway show, but they can afford to go to a minor league game. So that is a given to start with. But recognizing the troubled economy that we're in today, I don't think there's any question that the fan will have a better opportunity to do some bargain hunting, you know, for the best opportunities for them, whether that's going to be a night of the week where it is less expensive to go to the ballpark, or whether they're going to get a free hot dog and soda when they buy their ticket to go there. I think you're going to see more bargains.
Okay.
And people may have to, visit a team's website or make a call to the front office and inquire about those things. But I don't think there's any question that there are going to be ticket packages, nightly packages, maybe not every night, but, maybe you'll do when the kids are out of school in the summer, maybe you'll want to do more Monday, Tuesday visitations to the ballpark than a Friday, Saturday that might be a tad more expensive.
Do you also think that with the economy being that it is, and as you're saying, the increased level of talent in the front offices, will they make the event more interactive for the fans, within reason? I mean, obviously the fans can't jump on the field and play, but will the fans get a chance to have more interaction or feel like they're more part of a show in order for the teams to feel like they're offering a good enough talent that people feel truly connected?
You know, I think that creativity is just a year-by-year improvement with the bright minds out there. There's always a new avenue, a new fun game during the game, during the baseball game itself, or a new participatory way. And that doesn't mean that the fan's going to get the bat cleanup for their team or anything of that nature. But the catch on the field that dad or mom and the child can have after certain games, or running the bases, or being the guest PA announcer for an inning, or all of these things, and I can't make a blanket statement that all of those activities are available at every ballpark, but if you learn and just exert yourself a little bit with going to the website of the local team or going to the game and inquiring about things and checking their boards for specials and the flyers that they have to hand out there, they're going to find that there are more opportunities they didn't realize, or maybe you go to a game and it doesn't cost much anyway, and you can turn your ticket stub in at your favorite fast food restaurant, and get a half price meal or something. So there's always going to be the add-on bonus that as people need it, that they can look for, and the teams will be looking to generate more of those, and I think the fans should do the same thing and be looking for more of those situations.
Well, then the final thing you were also earlier discussed, that at some point a fan, if the team is really running their operations properly, they would not be able to truly discern from their perspective the difference between an affiliated or an independent level team, other than the fact that there is no next level for the players in terms of a specific hierarchy. The players obviously get picked off as necessary by an affiliated organization and move into those organizations.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask, as time goes on, with that, the one drawback that the independent teams have is that they're starting to add on various team or league websites an alumni section so people can track where their favorite player from an independent level who's been good enough to move on to the next level. They'll be able to track them through the league website, but you're also offering that same service as well through your blog. Is that correct?
Well, that's one of the things that, especially my column, which is a subscriber-only column, but it doesn't cost an arm and a leg to subscribe to it. You get the more depth of content there. You get the same type of writing, I think, on my blog, but you don't get as much content. But fans can fans can look around. There are, you know, that's one of the joys of the internet today. They can track players, they can track teams very easily to see what's happening with their favorite team or with that player that cute second baseman who was here last year. Where is he this year? You know, that type of thing.
Also, as time goes on with the internet, as you just mentioned, do you think that there, you know, with new tools in the internet, what they call the Web 2.0 community, for those who are listening, blogs, YouTube videos, places like that where people can actually comment, do you foresee that the teams are going to actually start using those as a tool to create more of a community and interaction with the fan and the team so they have an identification?
Oh, some of them do now. You know, there's a lot of, I'm not sure that I'm the best person to ask about this, but I know that that you can visit the YouTube and inquire of a particular topic, and you might be surprised at the amount of content that already is there. And certainly, the individual teams are up to that. It's in minor league baseball, you don't get a lot of television coverage, but there are some companies that are providing this through enterprising teams where you could go and at least listen, if not watch a game. It's wonderful for the families, the girlfriends, the aunts, the uncles, the friends who want to follow a player, and that player has gone across the country to play minor league baseball. There will be the audio opportunity to listen to probably every one of his games if they want for a nominal cost. And I'm saying that some of those will have television coverage. It may not be network quality coverage, but something that will help satisfy that void.
And then I've also seen in the recent news at the time of this recording that some of the leagues are actually negotiating local or regional cable television rights for their All-Star games. So that's a nice advent, too. Has that ever happened in the early advent of, or the early stages of independent baseball? Was there ever?
No. Yes, periodically. I mean, it's interesting, the St. Paul Saints, who are on the cutting edge of so many things, I believe it's true to say that they have been televising, I think, all of their home games in the local Minneapolis-St. Paul area for years now, you know. Maybe not on the most major of stations, but a cable station, and they would obviously promote that, and so fans can see their Saints, and they're not the only one, but they're a prime example in that case. I remember when Allentown, Pennsylvania, was which now has a Triple-A team, and a new stadium, but at that time they were in the Independent Northeast League, and they had a cable operator who televised a number of their games, and Worcester, Massachusetts has done the same thing. And so there are probably an increasing number, but certainly there are examples out there where teams are able to do that in their market. And let's face it, a media package is as important to the minor league team as anything else. And the media support that they get in their locale is crucial.
That's true, as we've heard both terrific stories like you cited, as well as some of the horror stories, which we won't cite, which can actually make or break a team to a slight degree, or even to a large degree.
Absolutely.
Well, Bob, I just want to say thank you again for your time. Again, this is Matt McDermott with IndependentMinorLeagueBaseball.com. And to get started, Bob, people should start coming to your blog, which is www.indy, I-N-D-Y, as in yellow, IndyBaseballChatter.com. And do you offer any other websites or services for your fans, apart from the subscription?
Well, from there's two other things. They can go from IndyBaseballChatter.com and go to my website. There's a link so that they can learn how to subscribe to the column if they're interested in that. And I also have a fairly new site called IndependentBaseballClassifieds.com.
That's classifieds with an S, correct?
Yes, with an S.
Okay.
And And that's kind of a smorgasbord of products. As a matter of fact, the fan who has been a collector of sorts and he wants to advertise and bring a little revenue home for the things that he's collected through the years, that's a vehicle where for only a few dollars they can advertise what they have.
Fantastic. So both fans and teams can use the service. It's not just restricted to teams.
It is not.
Fantastic. Well, I'll make sure that the fans are aware of that. Bob, thank you again for your time. And folks, again, if you're interested to reach Bob, you can reach him through his blog at www.indybaseballchatter.com. Thank you.